Well, good morning, everybody, on this lovely July 15th day of 2018. We got some great weather out there, real summery. Not so hot as it's been, but then again, it's New England. We have cold, we have hot, we have whatever. It changes quite quickly. But one thing's for sure, the Lord stays the same. He doesn't need to change. And we're going to ask our Deacon Sullivan, obviously, to start us off with a rousing prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we give all thanks and praise to you. We thank you for allowing us to gather here and worship you. And we ask that the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Glad to say amen to a wonderful prayer like that. Of course, whenever we say amen, that means we're agreeing. And we're also, it says Selah or amen means so let it be. Yes. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Holy, 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 O Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Holy,
holy, holy, all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crown around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee. Perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 O Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. O your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. You know, I have no idea how many times I have sung this song over the years. I mean, probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And so often, you know, at least for me anyway, sing the words, want to make sure I want to get the words just right as they are written. And anybody that knows me well enough knows that from time to time I change some words around just for effect anyhow, but I like to sing it the way it's written. But you know, today, as we were singing it, I had a greater appreciation for what the words of this song says and the good theology that it is. And I started to think about, in verse 3, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see. We wonder why people who are living in sin or are taking more of an occasion to sin, why they don't seem to see the things of the Lord. And that's part of what I'll be sharing today as our message. And then looking at who is the Lord? There's none beside thee. Nobody compares. Nobody's equal. Perfect in power, in love, in purity. And all thy works shall praise thy name, in verse 4. All thy works shall praise thy name. And of course, we are the best of God's work, even though it's hard to imagine that with the frustrations we may have with our fellow man, for good reason. But these things that are qualities of the Lord are certainly worth concentrating on, if you will, or spending time looking at, because the Lord wants us to imitate him. Well, this was sent to me on the newsletters that I often get, and I thought this would be worth sharing, sort of humorous in many ways. I got a note from one of my readers who didn't appreciate the UPS dog story because he's been tormented by dogs on his route. But as I write this with Ellie at my feet, that's his dog, well, you're not changing my mind. There's a bond between dogs and humans that's undeniable. Now, they might not be for everyone, for sure. But I'm the type of guy that shows up at a party and spends as much time with the dog as I do the folks who are hosting me. It's just my way, I guess. And dogs seem to sense it. They know a friendly face, and the next thing you know, I'm like Dr. Doolittle with a new friend for life. But even if you're not a dog person, you'll probably appreciate this story. It begins in Iraq. A former artillery forward observer was stationed there, and his unit picked up a stray mutt. They named him Trackpad. It was an army unit, after all. Anyway, the CO informed the guys that there were no dogs allowed on base. Sadly, they drove old Trackpad to the other side of the city to drop him off. On the way back, ambush. So the soldier was engaging when all of a sudden he hears a bark from behind him. When he turns, he sees an insurgent about to hit him and his buddies with an RPG. So he swings around and takes him out, saving the convoy in the process. Now keep in mind, this was 6 miles from where they dropped off trackpad. He faithfully followed the convoy, spotted the insurgents, and sounded the alarm, saving lives in the process. So that was it. Into the truck goes trackpad again. When they returned to base, the entire convoy walked into the CO's office and said, "Look, this dog just saved our lives. He's staying." The CO relented and Trackbad stayed until he eventually was adopted by another soldier at the end of his tour, making it back to the U.S. alongside him. Now, dogs may not be for you. You may not have one in your house or your life. You may avoid them when you see them. But maybe, just maybe, if you befriend a dog, he'll watch your back when you really need it. And needless to say, I really like that story. Well, today, 7/16. Yes, I got it right this time. Is a special day. And why is it special? Because it's the Lord's Day. Now, yesterday, you may have found out, was Bastille Day. July 14th, 1789, Bastille Day. And by the way, I bring that up because there is absolutely nothing other than the word revolution that's similar between the American Revolution and the French Revolution. The only part that makes them similar is the words themselves, revolution. So I just wanted to mention that. And we will be sharing scripture very soon. But before we do, I'd like to bring my anecdotes and my quotes and so forth and so on, like this. 10 guidelines from God. Effective immediately, please be aware that these are changes you need to make in your life. These changes need to be completed in order that I may fulfill my promises to you to grant you peace, joy, and happiness in this life. I apologize for any inconvenience, but after all that I am doing, this seems very little to ask of you. Please follow these guidelines. Quit worrying. Put it on the list. Trust me. Leave it alone. These are the 10 ones. Talk to me. I'm going to read that one a little bit further. I want you to forget a lot of things. Forget what was making you crazy. Forget the worry and the fretting because you know I'm in control. But there's one thing I ask you never forget. Please don't forget to talk to me often. I love you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to include me on the things going on in your life. I want to hear you talk about your friends and family. Prayer is simply you have a conversation with me. I want to be your dearest friend. And then 6, have faith. 7, share. 8, be patient. 9, be kind. 10, love yourself. And of course, most people would say, what? Love yourself? Yeah. Love yourself because the Lord does too. Very important. Where there is no law, there is no liberty. And nothing deserves the name of law but that which is certain and universal in its operation upon all members of the community. And that was written by Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration, among other things, Dr. Benjamin Rush, 1788. My advice is to develop a method by which she can earn commissions. This is a fellow giving advice when asked, you know, should you give your child an allowance? Write down a daily or weekly list of jobs around the house that are age appropriate she will be responsible for doing. Then at the end of the week, she gets paid for the job she completed, and she doesn't get paid for the ones she didn't do. The idea is to teach her that work creates money and teach a healthy work ethic at the same time. Of course, there are some things a child should be expected to do without financial reward, which everyone needs to pitch in and do certain things to help when they're part of a family. And once you've taught her about the importance of rewards and work, make sure to also teach her about the three uses of money: saving, spending, and giving. Christ came not to free us from law, but to empower us to live it in truth. Judges, therefore, should always be men of learning and experience in the laws of exemplary morals, great patience, calmness, coolness, and attention. Their minds should not be distracted with jarring interests. They should not be dependent upon any man or body of men. And of course, that was written by John Adams in 1776, and we need to remember to pray for the process of approving Supreme Court justices. And of course, right now it's Brett Kavanaugh. Would he have been the person I selected? I probably not, although his credentials are absolutely impeccable. But we have quite a balance of Roman Catholics already on the Supreme Court. There's some evangelical Christian judges that would be very good. But anyway, that process is probably going to get very ugly, so we need to pray. We live in a lying, lustful, larcenous fantasy world of illusion. Could you agree with that? Where history is not the truth. History is some person or group of persons' perceptions of the truth, colored by individual biases and life experiences, and usually based on too little information. Much of history is so lacking in detail as to render the depiction as nothing more than an outright distortion or half-truth. Nevertheless, we accept it as truth and pass it on to others verbally or in writing, even though the conclusions drawn there from are most likely inaccurate at best and maybe totally false at worst. And George Washington in 1796 said, "But if we are to be told by a foreign power what we shall do and what we shall not do, we have independence yet to seek and have contended hitherto for very little." And of course, as we're looking at the situation in the world today with false news and made-up news, and those things should not be a surprise to us. Obey his commands and precepts. Out of law? No, from your heart. Notice the word here from the original Greek, from the Amplified: do it habitually. So obeying the commands and precepts of the Lord, we do that habitually. Whereas to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. The mind that aims at a select militia must be influenced by a truly anti-republican principle. And when we see many men disposed to practice upon it, whenever they can prevail, no wonder true Republicans are for carefully guarding against it. And that was written by Federal Farmer, 1787. That was a pseudonym. And of course, today, as we're looking at the situations in our country concerning Second Amendment and gun grabbers and all those kind of things, it's worthwhile looking at that historical account. If citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. If Republican government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make and administer the laws. And that was said by Noah Webster. The Swiss Reformed theologian Karl Barth in 63 wrote a letter, "Do not stop testing and correcting your thoughts by Holy Scripture. Then, being sound in what really counts, you can live and represent a comforted life." It's of great importance to set a resolution, not to be shaken, never to tell an untruth. There is no vice so mean, so pitiful, so contemptible, and he who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and third time till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truths without the world believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in times depraves all its good disposition. Thomas Jefferson, 1785. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised that these founders, as we call them, had such foresight and could look into what was going on. They knew the past. And of course, as they looked towards the future, they were looking at the condition of people. I posted on Facebook this week, and many people liked it, about Helen Keller. And Helen Keller concluded, "Four things to learn in life: to think clearly without hurry or confusion, to love everybody sincerely, to act in everything with the highest motives, to trust God unhesitatingly." So those things that she pointed out, and here's a woman that was blind from birth and got many accolades, many awards and so forth and so on, wrote songs, and of course read by Braille and all that. Forget about the threat of socialism and even communism. The real threat these days comes from those who want to foist idiocracy down our throats. Merriam-Webster defines idiocracy as a form of government in which a country or territory is run by fools. And how true is that? We got too many fools in our government, and they gotta go. The further back you look, the further forward you can see. Winston Churchill said that. Now get this. Little House on the Prairie, which I like, you know, Michael Landon, now declared racist and homophobic. Here's another classic series of books made into a film series that now must be burned, psychologically anyway. Not only does the headline display the imagined shocking details of this book series, it also has been kicked in the back cover for, now get this, lack of inclusiveness. Inclusiveness was totally unknown in those days. Today it signifies LGBTQ, which was not visible back then. After being interviewed by the school administration, the prospective teacher said, "Let me see if I've got this right." And this was actually sent to me by a judge that had been written by another judge who was a very liberal judge, liberal in his political stance, and has changed his attitude. "You want me to go into a room, that room with all these kids, correct their disruptive behavior, observe them for signs of abuse, monitor their dress habits, censor their t-shirt messages, and instill in them a love of learning. You want me to check their backpacks for weapons, wage war on drugs and sexually transmitted diseases, and raise their sense of self-esteem and personal pride. You want me to teach them patriotism and good citizenship, sportsmanship and fair play, and how to register to vote, balance a checkbook, and apply for a job. You want me to check their heads for lice, recognize signs of antisocial behavior, and ensure that they all pass their final exams. You also want me to provide them with an equal education regardless of their handicap and communicate regularly with their parents in English, Arabic, or any other language by letter, telephone, newsletter, and report card. You want me to do all this with a piece of chalk, a blackboard, a bulletin board, a few books, a big smile, and a starting salary that qualifies me for New Start. You want me to do all of this, and then you tell me I can't wear a necklace with a little cross, mention God, or say Merry Christmas because someone might take offense. If Muslims can pray anywhere, why are Christians banned from praying in public and from creating or erecting religious displays on their holy days? What happened to our National Day of Prayer? Muslims are allowed to block off major streets in all American states and pray in the middle of the street. And it's a monthly ritual. Tell me again, whose country is this? Ours or the Muslims? It's said that 86% of Americans believe in God. Therefore, I have a very hard time understanding why there is such a problem in having God in our education system or the Lord's Prayer said in our government, schools, or public meetings. I believe it's time we stand up for what we believe. So, a liberal, after looking around, changed the way of life. Well, take your Bibles in hand. And today, we've got two passages of Scripture we'll be looking at. The first passage is in Jeremiah chapter 1. That's Jeremiah chapter 1. You know, Jeremiah comes after Isaiah. And so we'll be looking at a few verses there in chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. So it's chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. And the first person that has it will be the person that can start that reading. You can read those verses.
All right, I've got it here.
Okay.
You said, what, 11 through 19?
Yes.
All right, from the English Standard Version, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, see an almond branch? Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them, for all their evil is forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worship the works of their own hands. But you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls, against the whole land, against the king of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. That's Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 19.
Good. And I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear, Mrs. Kathy Lear, who was a birthday girl. It's her birthday week. And I sang her birthday song yesterday morning. Honey, read from Jeremiah 23, verses 23 to 24.
All right, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. From the English Standard Version. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? That's Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24 from the English Standard Version.
Well, thank you, honey. I appreciate a lot of the prophet Jeremiah so many things that are said in this book of prophecy. And he obviously was not a minor prophet in that he ended up getting many chapters, if you will, in the Bible. And all those chapters are very important, 52 chapters actually. But I believe that the Lord laid in my heart for us to look at today. I'm using as a theme, as I often do, pulling the theme right out of the scriptures reading. And it's, what do you see? What do you see? Let me put the emphasis right. It could be, what do you see? Or it could be, what do you see? Or it could be, what do you see? Well, all of those emphatics and emphasis would be basically equal. But I'm putting the emphasis for us today on what do you see? Because it's obvious that scripture, and I certainly brought out in my anecdotes and all my guidelines and all the things that I read to you before, that we do not all see what's going on the same way. And we talked about judges and how important it is for a judge to judge according to the law rather than their own opinion, things of that nature. And of course, we're told in scripture not to judge. And of course, that's many times taken out of the context that the Lord gave it to us. But I mean, part of the reason we're told not to judge is because to be an effective and efficient and fair judge, you'd have to be able to see clearly. And a lot of people don't see clearly. Just the same as physically, many people have to go in and have cataract surgery because they can't see clearly because the lens over their eyes has become distorted through age and through environment and all that. Well, the same things can apply to us, actually, in a spiritual sense. And so I ask the question, what do you see? And of course, we look at that passage of scripture from verse 11 to 19. Out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come. Every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem against the walls all around against all the cities of Judah. You know, we're talking about here in America building a wall to keep unwanted people out. And that people have to come in the right way. And of course, there's truth here in scripture about that too. How do you come to the Lord? You don't barge in. You can't break in. You got to come humbly before his throne of grace in your time of need. And you come, of course, only because of the blood of Jesus can you be in the presence of a holy God. And a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't want to deal with that because they don't want to be on the righteous path, or they don't want to keep his commands and so forth, as we read those 10 guidelines, putting God first. And then at the end of that passage of scripture, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. This should be very encouraging to us when I ask you the question and I ask myself, Garrett, what do you see? Garrett, what do you see? I said, I see, just the same as the eyes were open of the prophet's servant who only saw the enemy, and then the Lord opened his eyes, and what do you see? I see angels with flaming swords, and there's more of them than there are of the others. And so these things are not in the Bible accidentally. They're in the Bible to encourage us and to direct us and show us the right steps, being able to put our feet in Jesus' footprints. So if they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. And of course, read that carefully, taking the emphasis. It doesn't say they won't fight against you. Are we surprised that adversaries to what we believe are just not giving up? That they just keep coming back? I mean, there are things, for example, I know in the New Hampshire State House, and this week I communicated with the governor, telling him I wasn't happy on his position and several other things. Things that I thought had died off have come back. They keep coming back. Why? Because the people that support this aberrant behavior, they're not going to give up. But the promise that we have from the Lord, and this is what we need to see when I ask you, what do you see? See this. That they shall not prevail. They shall not prevail against you. They will fight against you, but they're not going to prevail. I mean, if you were told, okay, it's inevitable you're in this fight, but the good news is that I have for you, in this fight, there's going to be a fight, but your opposition is not going to prevail. They're not going to win. You're going to win. Now, the question is, as we start to pump ourselves up, I'm going to win. The Lord's going to show me how to win. The Lord's going to make sure I win. Wait a minute. The reason why you can win is because you are seeing clearly. What do you see? I see clearly that the Lord is with me. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. If the Lord's not with you, you're not going to get delivered. And of course, we're facing lots of things. And if we go back to that further chapter 23, those two verses there. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? And there's a question mark. So what do you see? Do you see God as far away in his heavenly kingdom somewhere that I can't even get to or never will? It's something I can't touch. If you see God that way, you're making a big mistake, I would suggest, according to the scripture. And you have to make that decision. What do you see? I see a God that's at hand. I see a God that's not far away. Now, we know that it's possible when people do wrong and do wrong to us, most of the time what do? They hide themselves. Well, that's part of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. Instead of admitting it to the Lord, okay, we sinned, we didn't do what you told us to, please forgive us. What do? They went and hid. He had to call them out. What have you done? And of course, he already knew what they had done. But even then, they were blaming somebody else, blaming each other. And so the issue here is, can a man hide himself in secret places so I cannot see? And what would your answer be? And there are question marks there. The Lord's asking, what do you see? You think I'm a God that hides himself in secret places so I can't see anybody? Well, I don't believe that. Scripture says, do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. Do I not? And the answer is, yes, you do, Lord. You fill heaven and earth. You see all. You know all. You're there. You're omnipresent, the three omnis. Omnipresent. Actually, we'll start off with omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. God is all-powerful. God is all-seeing. And God is everywhere. And so the issue, what do you see? And I hope your answer is, what do I see? I see the Lord as he is, according to what he has described of himself in Scripture, and I found him to be. And I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, friends, and those that are listening by the internet, I have found these things to be true. These qualities and characteristics of the Lord, and I do desire to imitate him. And it helps me to understand, and we get our basis, like I quoted Karl Barth, saying, you know, we should continue to look at the scriptures and adjust our viewpoint just like I said in singing the song, Holy, 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 I've adjusted my viewpoint because of what's said in the song. And the words of the song are not necessarily scripture, but they're taken from scripture. And they actually did emphasize what we are studying in scripture today in that song, particularly, and all the other ones too. And that's so important. So I ask you that question again. What do you see? If you don't see the Lord the way he describes himself here, then you've got a wrong view, and a wrong view will cause, it's just like trying to look through binoculars or a telescope when it isn't focused, or it's dirty, the lens is dirty. You're not seeing what's really there. It's not sharp and vivid. And so my prayer is for all those of our congregation and for every church in America and all the places that I've been and preached, that people will see clearly, clearly who the Lord is, what the Lord is, and that those that trust him can be sure that the Lord is on their side and will deliver them. This fight's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to have fights of one sort or another. Some you can avoid and some you can't. But the Lord says, if you trust in me, I will be there. And of course, in the 28th verse, it says, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophet who prophesies lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? So folks, we have dreams. If the dreams do not accurately portray the things of the Lord, then that's a bad dream. And it didn't come from the Lord. And there are those that are out prophesying in the name of the Lord that are just prophesying lies to the people, drawing the people to them, rather than encouraging the people to come closer to the Lord. Well, let's pray. God our Father, we love you. Only you know what's in our hearts. Only you see us in secret. And you have even said if we go in our prayer closet and pray in secret, you will reward us openly. So the issue is not that man sees us like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. They wanted to be seen, and they wanted to be seen for their generosity. They wanted to be seen for everything they're doing, as if they needed to be seen by men rather than by you. And we know that you've promised us that if a man's ways please the Lord, he can make even our enemies be at peace with us. We pray for our country, for our president. He's been overseas talking with heads of different governments, our vice president. Pray safety for them and fruitfulness in their lives. And the very things that you want them to speak and say they will do, regardless of who is against them. And that, yes, we can say, even as we're still in the month of July, not far from having celebrated our Declaration of Independence, that we still are celebrating our Declaration of Dependence on you. And we pray these things in a Trinitarian prayer, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God.